just to quote from what the Department for Planning and Monitoring in the presidency said in 2009, they said government must be more effective in its actions. Since 1994, we have successfully expanded access to services. The quality of services has, however, often been below standard. We need to focus more on outcomes as we use our time, money, and management. We need to understand and accept why we have too often not met our objectives in delivering quality service. But as part of that conceptualization, the DPME also realized that whilst improved planning and performance evaluation systems would provide more focus on delivery, you needed a special mechanism to make delivery happen. And they looked at international best practice, and I'm sure members would be aware of how Britain looked at a delivery unit. In the US, they looked at the concept of delivery units, and they themselves decided that probably what we needed over and above the evaluation and assessment of the system is a delivery unit to ensure that within the system there's a driver for planning and for the delivery agenda. And they said how they saw it was that a delivery unit would look at a few carefully selected areas of blockages in the delivery, partner the appropriate delivery institutions in working towards a turnaround, but that more importantly, its interventions would create models for improving delivery that can be followed by others. So it's a few selected areas, partnering with the delivery institutions, looking at models, but that the unit would also analyze failures in delivery and draw lessons from successes. The unit will guide the implementation of change, empowering existing structures, and so not coming up with new structures. The minister took that from the presidency and from DPME and announced herself the establishment of a delivery unit within education, because again, in the education system, the understanding was that much as we have expanded access, the quality of delivery and the delivery itself was not happening optimally. And in announcing the establishment of the delivery unit, she said we need a mechanism to effectively unblock bottlenecks to make the current system work better, faster, and smarter. We will use the planning and delivery oversight unit to align and integrate our programs and refocus everybody around our core business, the effective delivery of the curriculum. Now, the planning and delivery's initial task will be to focus on improving the performance of poorly performing districts. And Chair, when I report then on what we have done, we will be using that and using what the Minister had said would be our primary focus. Because we are integral to the system, literally we are another branch of the system, trying to weave together the activities of the system and not coming with anything new, but making sure that they are well-oiled and woven together from national through to school level, so that whatever is intended by our policies and programs finds effect at school, in the schools across the country. And therefore, action plan is our Bible in the delivery unit. Its outcomes and its targets inform the key areas of focus towards more effective delivery. However, we think focusing more at the district school interface, where we believe that that's where things begin to break down. The immediate focus in 2012 has been informed by the minister's directive that we focus on the 15 districts that have been identified as underperforming based on the 2011 NSC exams. There are three main areas that we focused on: understanding reasons for the poor performance, which we have found really varies from district to district, or maybe even from province to province. And just for information to remind committee members that 11 of these 15 districts are in the Eastern Cape. One is in Mpumalanga, one is in the Northern Cape, and one in KZN, one in Limpopo. So we were tasked with trying to understand the reasons for the poor performance, identify key blockages and help unblock those blockages, and focus the district on improving performance in 2012, starting with 2012, grades 3, 6, 9, and 12. The priority activities that we looked at were, firstly, support for district planning and implementation of support to schools. Now, this is an important area because with many of the underperforming districts, the breakdown starts with just planning, you know, beginning of the year, using the data that is there and planning your year focused on improving performance. And work with them to look at clear support and intervention programs for schools performing under 40%, and look at plans and programs to improve not only the percentage passed at grade 12 level or below, but looking at the quality of passes. And all of those are issues that are clearly stipulated in our action plan to 2014. So we're using the same, but drilling down and offering support at this level. The focus is not only at grade 12. We selected the districts based on the grade 12 performance, but the focus is on the system and making the system work seamlessly and effectively across. There are some of the issues that we're laying emphasis on. We have the caps which we've introduced in the system. What our focus is in this district, firstly, is the availability of the caps, their utilization in schools, as well as teacher orientation or training to utilize the caps. Now, what we do is not only to assess this, where they are not available, we immediately unblock and make them available. So it's not assessment, it's to ensure delivery. It's not, when we're assessing so that we can assist. And we've done that across. Where teachers have not been trained, we've made sure that there are processes and programs to have the teachers trained. The issue of workbooks, again, is their availability and utilization. LTSM availability and utilization in all grades, teacher availability, development and utilization, the utilization of assessment data for planning, learner performance improvement, especially in multi-grade and difficult contexts, because many of these are in very poor areas with lots of multi-grade schools, and looking at curriculum coverage to ensure that all outcomes are covered. That's the main one around curriculum management in schools. However, we have another leg within the delivery unit, and that is around ensuring community interest and participation in education, and that we drive through the QLTC. The QLTC is located within the PDOU with the priority mandate on ensuring implementation of core mandate of all QLTC by all structures. The tools, critical tools that are being used there, it's ensuring that we've got QLT structures and partners across all provinces and school communities, that the NEDLEC Accord, whose first program that was adopted by partners is on adopting poor performing schools, that happens guided by a clear protocol. And the last leg is one of the recent cabinet decision for parliamentarians to adopt poor performing districts in their constituencies, and again within a clear protocol developed by the DBE. Chairperson, if I may just put a pause there and say, in the Eastern Cape, where we've spent many of our working hours, it is amazing the uptake by communities because of the QLTC. We have been starting, at the end of January, where we were summoned by a traditional chief who called an indaba in Mount Frere, followed by parents in Butterworth, who again decided to call all of us and the education stakeholders to say what needs to be done. We have said had the same in Lebode. So we're beginning to see an upset of communities taking over and demanding accountability from the education system because of the work of the QACC. The PDOU then, Madam Chair, as I said, is really effectively an additional branch within the department. It is not, as you will probably hear from our colleagues from NIDU, it's not at arm's length from the department, and it is within the department, integral, making sure that the policies and programs of the department are understood properly and are implemented at the up to school level. And therefore it works to the DBE strategic plan and the stated priorities and outcomes of the DBE. The Learner Attainment Improvement Strategy, which exists in all, or strategies that exist in all provinces, inform and guide the unit support to districts and provinces. Credible district improvement plans and their implementations, as well as school improvement plans, are a key vehicle in the support the unit provides. Common district and school monitoring instruments have been developed in the DBE and will further focus the work of the unit. And Chair, you said we should speak briefly to some of the work that we've done. Part of the work that we've done then has been to work in these districts hands-on, on the ground. One of the first challenges, which committee I'm sure is aware of, is firstly the quality and coverage of LTSM, which is extremely unsatisfactory. The DBE introduced a national catalogue to address these challenges, but it's not being used. In the districts, and we've visited all of them, we have found that workbooks that are often said to be in short supply are often also in the districts. Now, but I want to explain that the delivery model focuses on schools and not on districts, and therefore the books that are in districts are meant to problem solve and to provide for shortages. But we will find shortages in schools and find that the districts are not aware, but the workbooks are there. Secondly, our books around maths and science that the DBE again has developed through the assistance of working with the Shuttleworth Foundation. Again, those we would find either in the district or in the schools not opened. And through the delivery unit, we were able, firstly, to alert people to this and make sure that the books get to the schools. That's the first area that we have found common across all of the poor performing districts. We're finding also that often the departments will be accused of not providing the books, but where the money has been transferred to Section 21 schools, we're finding that the Section 21 schools are actually using the money for something else and not purchasing textbooks. We also found all of the things that are put there then, that where workbooks and textbooks are in the schools, they are poorly used, and that in many of the districts there are no real retrieval systems, and these are areas we're working on with them to unblock. The second area that we focus on is the area that the President keeps talking about as the triple T's. But I just want to contextualize this a bit, because as I've said, the majority of the underperforming districts are in the Eastern Cape. We have them in Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo. Northern Cape, I think, was more... this year, it was a surprise even to them. But I wanted to give you some information that we have in the system to try and understand broader what's happening in the system. Now, if you look at the percentage of grade 5 children taught by teachers who report spending at least 20 hours teaching per week, you will see that the least number of teachers is in Limpopo, followed by Eastern Cape, you've got Free State, Northern Cape, and Mpumalanga. But there are some, I mean, I want to show you that Eastern Cape seems to be a common factor across. If you look at curriculum coverage, again, this is work that we're looking at math curriculum topics covered in the best learners' workbooks. And again, you will see that where Western Cape not doing fantastically well either, but you can see at 34.5, it is much better than 11.8 in Eastern Cape, 18.2 in KwaZulu-Natal, and 19.9 in Limpopo. I've just used a few of these. Now, curriculum coverage. Percentage of grade 5 children in classes in which the best learner's workbook reveals no evidence of paragraph length writing. I always say to the Eastern Cape when we are in the comfort of our own workshops that where we're looking at something not done, then they do better than everybody else. Where we're looking at what has been done. Then. So again, you can see that, you know, Eastern Cape, and we're talking about their best learners workbooks. Again, we're not talking about your poorest. And you will find that in the Eastern Cape, more than half of the children will not have done. So it will not have, it will show no evidence of paragraph length writing. We use all of this, therefore, when we go into the districts and in these underperforming districts to try and assist based on evidence and a broader understanding of the context. Because what is important to us is that what we find, we must be able to feedback to the province broadly. Because some of the things are province specific, even though in these districts they are exaggerated or magnified. Here I put this slide on the table because if you're looking at the mean reading teacher test score by province, you will see that there is no significant difference in teacher capacity and you know, and therefore it's not about teachers. So we've got to look broader than that. So we cannot simplistically go in and say what we will do to improve the results is to train the teachers. We need to understand where it falls flat because it's not about the teachers necessarily. Chair, the issue of poor attendance in schools, poor preparation, poor curriculum coverage has been found to have very serious impact on performance in many of the 15 districts where we've worked. It's aggravated in the Eastern Cape. And again, through the work of the delivery unit, we've been able at least to make a difference in this. In the Eastern Cape, unlike in the rest of the country, district directors don't have substantive powers delegated to them. And therefore, Eastern Cape district directors, for instance, cannot appoint even a substitute teacher. Whereas in the rest of the provinces, they can appoint, in Northern Cape, for instance, they can appoint up to a chief education specialist. So they can staff their district and be able to do the work. In the Eastern Cape, we found in this district as we were working that you would find a teacher who has gone on accouchement leave and they start the process because when somebody is pregnant, you know she's pregnant. So they start the processes of substitution long in advance, but that teacher will come back before the post is filled. So in the Eastern Cape, the issue of teacher vacancies is huge, more than what we've been seeing. And it's mainly also because everything gets sent up to the province and there are delays there. So it is both the issue of just appointing substitute or temporary teachers or dealing with disciplinary cases. We found in some of the Eastern Cape districts where we're working, in Mount Frey, there's a principal who was displaced by the community. The matter has not been resolved over 7 years. As a result, the district, the school itself got 3% in their grade 12 exam last year. You know, many issues like that. And therefore, what we've done, yesterday we were taking a report from the acting SG of Eastern Cape. They have given some delegations now, although not to all districts. They've given to 10 out of the 13 districts and they've allowed them to appoint at least substitute and temporary teachers. But just Chair, to say where we work, we don't wait. We don't wait to give a report. We find things and we immediately feed back into the system for resolution. So the major focus of the planning and delivery unit is really to ensure improved effectiveness in all of the areas and around teachers. It's not just teacher development, it's recruitment, deployment, and all of the issues that have to do with teachers. Chair, the last area is one that we have said is quite important, because we don't want these to be done in a vacuum. We think district plans and processes to support schools are very important. What we found, and we believe, I won't go through all of that, we all know how district improvement plans and school improvement plans are developed. Our findings in the districts where we worked was that when we got in at the end of March, there were no district improvement plans. But this, Madam Chair, is twofold, because there are no district improvement plans. Where there were district improvement plans by the end of March, they were poorly developed. However, the reality is that some of these districts are performing poorly because they don't have the capacity to actually develop meaningful district improvement plans or implement them. So for us, that was a major issue. In terms of school improvement plans, there is a policy in place for school improvement plans and academic improvement plans, particularly for underperforming schools, to be in place so that we can monitor them against the plans by June of every year. We have not been able to find these academic improvement plans in virtually all of the districts. Less than 4% of the districts have the 4% of the schools, not the districts, had the improvement plan. Now we're saying that the DIP must be available for implementation in January of each year, and it's not happening in these struggling districts. We've worked with them to make sure that these plans are based on an understanding of the district's learner performance in ANA and NSC, and how they are distributed across the district. Because even in these districts, we're finding high performing schools. In the same district in Mount Frey that I'm talking about, we have a school without resources, a school called Hode, which attained 87% pass in last year's results. And we have a school like Nzizwa that has 3%. So again, even within those districts, rather than tarring them with the same brush, we need to understand so that we can assist them to support schools, you know, based on that. We believe that DIPs should show an understanding of curriculum expectations, as well as an understanding of availability, as well as leadership and management capacity of principals and school management
teams. Yes. Will you be a bit brief now?
Okay.
Only about 5 to 10 minutes, please.
Thank you. All right. I will then not look at the SIP and what it's. I've referred to it already. But can I then talk briefly on the other area of challenge, which is the infrastructure? In many of these districts, the infrastructure challenges persist. And I think from what we've seen, they're exacerbated by a whole range of things. One is increased participation across the system. Secondly, poor curriculum choices and support to schools. We have found in many of the district schools that offer curricula, a wide range of curricula, when they don't have teachers and they don't have space. But then it speaks also to the support the district is providing or not providing. New curriculum choices that require a different kind of rooms and curriculum spaces, as well as inadequate maintenance of existing buildings. In conclusion, Chair, can I just say that we believe that in the short space of time that I have been involved, at least with the delivery unit, which is in the last 3 months, that we have been able to assist the system, firstly in understanding what is happening or not happening in the districts and schools around the key areas. Secondly, we have been able to pick up on the reasons for the challenges. And in many instances, we have been able to assist in facilitating and blocking the blockages. I have referred to the tools that we finalizing in the DBE, and we will, those that have been finalized, monitoring of curriculum coverage, the PDOU is making sure that these are utilized by districts. I must say, however, that effective monitoring and enforcement and ensuring consequences for failure across the system remains a persistent challenge. And we're hoping that with our work with districts and provinces and schools, that we will help these get attended to. And this is an area that the Minister is strengthening through her quarterly meetings with districts, as well as through HEDCOM and CEM. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks a lot. We'll go on with me to the real question. Is that in order, members? Thank you. We'll start with Nidu, and then after Nidu, honourable members, we'll question. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for your kind wishes on my appointment. Colleagues, I'm not going to make any excuses. I just want to explain why Nidu has been a bit slow this year. As you know, Professor Volmink was the CEO of Nidu. His wife got ill towards the end of last year, and basically he committed himself to looking after his wife and left Nidu. And I think the minister has battled to find someone. Finally, I was appointed on the 1st of May, and I want to say this is my 15th day in the job, and I've never been more excited about a job, because I see it as a very strong potential for energizing the system and aligning different parts of it so that the system operates optimally. And I want to explain how we intend to do that. But Chair, may I just start off by saying, I think one of the things that's puzzling the committee is the relationship between these different organs of state. And so I just want to explain briefly how we differ from, for example, the delivery unit. I think the first and most important thing about Nidu is it will be an independent body. Once the bill, which the Chair mentioned at the beginning of her remarks, has passed through Parliament, we will be an independent statutory body. At present, we are located within the Department of Basic Education, and that's not a bad place to be at the moment, and I'll explain why it's quite useful at the moment. But I report to the Minister, even now, and once the Nidu Act has been promulgated, we will then move out and we will set up our own offices and set up all our own systems in the same way that Umalusi and the Council for Higher Education have done. So we will be an independent statutory body, where we will not be a government department. Secondly, our function is to be advisory to government. It is not in any way a delivery unit. We are not responsible for practices in schools, for administering schools in any way, for implementing the curriculum. We are an advisory body. And if that sounds like a bit of a weak function, I'll explain in a minute why I think it's so important and how we intend going about it. A third point of difference is that we are a research-based body. We gather evidence in a scientific and objective way, and of course you can only do that if you're independent. That's why we have to be independent. We are not gathering evidence to make a point, to support the department or anything. We are going to be objective. And finally, colleagues, you've heard from Mrs. Chebeka how the delivery unit is targeting poorly performing districts. NEDU, on the other hand, will be systemic. We will look at the whole system. Now, of course, we can't visit every school in the country, but we will do so on a random sample basis, so that our reports will report on the system as a whole, rather than on just particular parts of it, as the delivery unit is doing. So, colleagues, I think in a nutshell, those are the factors that distinguish us from any other unit of that is part of government. We are outside of that. We are independent of that. Let me back up now to tell you a little bit about the history of NEDU, just in case there are members who are unaware of that. The idea was really launched by Minister Pandor in 2008, and she set up a commission under the chairmanship of Professor Janssen to investigate this idea of a unit that would evaluate schools objectively. The commission reported, and those who haven't read that report, I would advise you to do so. It's a very interesting report, and it's very useful in sketching some of the background of NEDU. It does a literature review of functions such as those undertaken by NEDU around the world, and it really is quite interesting and in fact quite inspiring. Then NEDU was established, I think, towards the end of 2009, and again they struggled to find a leader, and Professor Volmink was appointed in somewhere in 2010, and they began to evaluate schools. And I believe you have seen a report from that work. I think the report was done sometime last year. Apparently a little controversial, because I don't think they were quite ready for that report yet. But be that as it may. Colleagues, as I say, I've been in the job, this is my 15th day now, and I've been into the field for a week with our team. We have a team of 17 field workers in the provinces. We had a very good visit to Mount Frere, where we evaluated 8 schools. I looked at NEDU systems, I looked at the staff that we have, and we are already revising those systems, because this is the kind of work I've been doing for many years now, outside of government, and I have my own instruments that I've used that have been tried and tested over the years. And we are going to train our field workers in the next month, and we are going to address this job now with great energy. And I will explain what we're going to achieve by the end of the year. But first, colleagues, let's look at that bill that the chairperson mentioned. And I'm also frustrated, chairperson, that it hasn't been passed yet. We were hoping to get it to a cabinet committee meeting tomorrow. But again, there was another little glitch somewhere in the department, and it is only going to go on the 22nd of June. But we are determined that it will go to the Cabinet Committee, and then it will begin its process through Parliament. And I would greatly appreciate it, colleagues, if you would assist that the passage of the bill through Parliament, because we do really want to get going. But colleagues, that's not holding us back in any way, not having an act yet. Because I think it was sometime last year, the Minister wrote to Professor Volmink saying, proceed as if the Act had been promulgated. So we are doing that. So we are using the bill at the moment as our Bible, as our guideline. And colleagues, I've extracted from the bill what I see to be the main functions of NEDU. And I'll put them there on the screen for your convenience. And I think it's really important to look at these in some detail, because they give a very clear guidance as to how NEDU should proceed. It should identify factors that inhibit school improvement and identify factors that might advance school improvement. We know that the quality of schooling is one of the country's biggest problems. In my view, it is our greatest problem. And so improvement of schooling really is a national priority, as the National Planning Commission has said. NEDU will also evaluate. Now, you see, we spoke about schools in the first bullet, but in the second bullet, we are not only going to evaluate schools, but we're going to evaluate how the Department of Basic Education and the provincial departments of education monitor their schools, and support their schools. We're going to look at those issues as well. We are going to look at the quality of leadership, teaching, and learning in schools. Following those evaluations, we will make proposals for improving school quality, and we will publish reports on the state of the school system. Now, colleagues, I look at that list and I say, and three things jump out at me. And I've put those three things into what I'm calling a mission statement now for NEDU. NEDU is facilitative. You see, we're working at all levels of the system. We want to facilitate synergy among the levels of the system. We are looking, and we're facilitative because we don't have powers of implementation. As I said at the beginning, we're an advisory body. We are looking at school improvement, as I've already emphasized, and we are looking at all levels of the system. It's not just school evaluations. So this really gives rise to exciting possibilities in terms of how we should operate. And we are saying that if we are about school improvement, we don't want to just publish a general report on the state of the system and say, well, in 50% of Eastern Cape schools, as Mrs. Chebeka pointed out just now, no writing of paragraph length was done in grade 5 over the whole year. That's important to say those things. But if we want to improve schools, we want to pick up particular specific schools and point to specific problems in those schools. So when we evaluate schools, we will write a school report. We will identify the two or three or four most important things for that school that need to be improved. And we will make specific recommendations not only to the schools, but to the district offices. This school has a problem here. How are you, the district office, going to help them overcome that problem? We're going to make recommendations to that district's provincial department about how the province must help the district to help the schools, and so on up the line. So we will be very specific about the problems in particular schools and districts and provinces. But we must also do an overall report on the system as a whole, which we will do by collating these school reports into a national report. So, in other words, colleagues, we see ourselves as an agency that can synergize and align the different levels of the system. To give you some examples, and arising out of the work we did 2 weeks ago in Mount Freer schools, we noticed certain things. We noticed, for example, and this is well known in South Africa, that teachers are moving extremely slowly through the curriculum. One teacher took a whole lesson to do one sum. Now, how do you help that teacher, colleagues? I mean, she needs training and she needs intensive training on the curriculum. But in the meantime, we want to say to her, ma'am, if you take this workbook from the department, and I like these workbooks, I think they're beautiful, I think they're well structured, I think they've got lots of good activities in them. I want to say to this lady at Malikeni School in Mount Freer, ma'am, if you take this workbook and you do one activity every day, and the night before you just look at that activity, make sure you can do it, and if you've got any problems, go and ask your head of department. And so you take one activity every day and make sure you finish it, you will get through the curriculum. You will certainly do a lot more work than you're doing now. But, colleagues, is that workbook aligned with the curriculum? Now, I must go to the national department and I must say, colleagues, is there a workbook? Can I tell the teachers to just follow the workbook? If they do that, will they get through the curriculum? So you understand how we can act as aligners and synergizers to link the different levels of the system. And so on, we can go to the provincial departments and say to them, are your districts doing what Mrs. Chebeka said just now in terms of assessing the learner achievement at your schools? Does the district have a record of the learner achievement of all their schools? We're going to go and check that. And we're going to recommend to the district how they can improve if they don't have that. We're going to recommend to the province how they can train their districts to analyze the learner achievement at all their schools. And so on, colleagues. I'm just giving examples of the kinds of things we see ourselves doing in order to align the various levels of the system. This year, we have plans. They're not quite finalized yet, but we will finalize them by the end of next week. And we are getting going on this program. We are going to look at the alignment of the various systems in the Department of Education, of basic education, as I've just described. Are the workbooks aligned with CAPS, for example? We're going to evaluate 9 provincial offices in terms of the sorts of things I've just mentioned. Are your districts assessing learner performance? Do they have records of learner scores? How are the workbooks being distributed? Is that going smoothly? How do you do it? We're going to evaluate 2 district offices in each, two district offices in each province. So we will do 18 district offices by the end of the year. And we will evaluate 20 schools in each district. Then we will make recommendations. We will write a report for each school which identifies the key issues we think need improvement. We will write a report on the district office and the province. And colleagues, we will go back to the district and we will report. And we will report to the schools. We will call the schools to the district office and we will give a report on these recommendations that we are making. Colleagues, over a 3-year cycle, we plan to do this in all 81 districts in the country and 20 schools in each district. It will give us a total of 1,620 schools over a 3-year cycle. Now, that is a very good sample. Colleagues, you know, when SACMEC does a national sample of our schools, they do about 360 schools. That's considered an adequate national sample. So we're going to do considerably more than that. We're going to do four and a half to five times that number. So we will do a very good sample of schools in our 3-year cycle. Chair, I think I'll leave it at that. Because I'm sure the members are keen to engage with us on these issues. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And to open now for questioning, I'll start there with... pick up your hands, please. Fine. I'll start with Honourable Makubela, Honourable Mashishi, Honourable Mushuana, Honourable Lovemore, Honourable Smiles, Honourable Ponshana, and then Honourable Dudley, and then it's Honourable Gina. Thanks a lot. In that order, please. Honourable Makubela, I am not going to give any number to questions. Today is free for all.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think... It's a pity that on a good day like this, I only have got 2 questions. I hope I have more. But thanks anyway for the opportunity. I think my first question goes to both of them, the presenters. Because this meeting in the main is about what really is the difference. And to a greater extent, I do get where they get to differ. But I also see, in my own view, areas where you seem to be or to could be focusing on the same things. And I just want that stressed out here, particularly in this meeting, so that we don't continue to get out of here saying, but there are issues. And I want to try and tell how I understand what you're saying. Because in as much as you said, need will be systemic, focusing on the entire system and so on, to me, even the oversight unit should do that. I don't think they should be limited to where they are told there are problems. by somebody else. In as much as there will be either reports by NIDU and others which will give you some light to say this is where we should go, but I take it that for you to understand what is the best practices on other schools that and districts that are not as weak, you'll need to run through that. So, I think perhaps if my understanding is poor, I think let's get assisted here so that we know exactly where the difference is. But the other, I was interested on about three things related to Ms. Tovek. The improving of the performance of learners in multi-grade schools. Well, you might have had a very short lifespan to could have made a real mark, but I'll be interested in exactly what is being done there, because it's an area that seems to be almost neglected. I don't think we're giving much attention as we claim or say in most cases. The other is the adoption of poor performing districts by parliamentarians. It's a huge kind of commitment that should be undertaken. Of course, there's an indication that there will be clear basis or framework of how that should be done. I remember in the committee once debated this issue. Some saying already they are doing it with particular schools and so on. But it's always good not just to adopt a poor performing one. Perhaps there may have to be two. A poor performing and a good one. So that it's clear on the actual differences, and you can even lead to the twinning or some cooperation of the two districts. So that you don't just focus on the poor one and end up degenerating yourself with that, but you get into the other one. The last, the poorly used workbooks and textbooks. It's a worrying factor. And I'm not saying it's not happening, but I thought there's need for some elaboration as to what we're talking about and what leads to that. If the content of teacher knowledge is almost the same across the country as it's being alluded to in one of the slides, how do we then arrive at these poorly used workbooks and textbooks? And I hope we could be assisted in that regard. I don't think I should take much time check for other members, but as they get to respond to the issues, we may be able to have follow-up questions and so on. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, ma'am.
Yes?
If the members could just give their names, Chair, so we can get to know them.
That's fine. That's Honorable Mashishi.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And then thank you for the presentation. And then maybe I should start on NIDU. The pages that you were talking about of the work program is not there in this document. We don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then secondly, Mr. Beck, I heard that the PDOU is targeting on poor performing district. I just want to know about the well-doing district. Are they being left out, not being monitored? And then again, on the you talk about the district plans, where you said no district improvement plans, and then where they are, they have not been poorly developed and not implemented. I just want to know about the assistance, and then maybe the targeting time of it, because you just talked, but I don't know the time frame where to assist. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson, and I want to thank both presenters. The questions that I want to ask were partly asked by the previous speakers, but I would like to ask them from my angle. Because maybe the point of view, you may be watching the same thing, but the point of view always differ. My first question is on, let's start from the district improvement plan. If the district improvement plan is not there, how can we expect a school improvement plan to be there? Because I believe schools must be guided by the districts. But if there are districts without plans, do you still believe that we can come with school improvement plans? That's the first question. And what can be done to ensure that every school has a plan? I know I know all of us here, most of us were teachers. I was expected to come with a plan. Oh Lord, Jesus, a plan from where? So I had to sit down with a plan from nowhere. Are we having some guiding, some guidance? Because I thought learners must have quality education. They must, you produce a total human being. When a person leaves school, the person must be able to participate in many things. But how do you come up with a person who can swim in a school where there is no swimming pool? I'm trying to say the plan must provide the means. Because without a plan that can produce, we can say that the learners from the rural area cannot do 1, 2, 3. But they are not supposed to do that because they have never seen anything that will improve, that will help them to grow towards that particular area. So that's my first question, if you can call it one question. The poor preparation versus textbooks. You see, teachers are given a catalogue to choose textbooks from, unless if that has changed. And they just choose, you know, this choosing, it depends on the type of teacher. Some teacher will go through them and really choose a book, will even have a plan. I remember the books that I chose ended up with plans, so that when people were crying about plans, I told them, no, so they had to come and get plans from the books that I chose then. But then, if teachers are given a chance just to choose, why can't the department assist so that what is happening in the Eastern Cape is happening in Gauteng, and what is happening in Gauteng can be the same in KwaZulu-Natal? I understand that people must sell their books, but it's not about business, it's about improving this country. Why can't we come with standard books? A proposal, I don't know if that will help. Mm-hmm. And then, and that maybe will be married with the poor preparation, sir. Why can't we have preparations in the books? Buy a textbook with a script. Because teachers sit down and do a lot of writing. When do they teach? A teacher must sit down and do a lot of preparation. It's easier said by people who are outside, but poor teachers have to prepare, trust me. Sometimes when they are in the classroom, they have to sit down and still prepare. But if we can buy books which have preparation, you go there with your text in hand, like the president said, and teach. But if you must sit down and start by writing, when are we changing? We expect teachers to be clerks as well. We want them to teach. And what are we doing to assist them to do that? And then the appointments, the understaff, it's a worrying thing. The last time I checked in one particular circuit where I was attached before I came here, we're supposed to be 49, all of us, from the circuit manager and the staff. But we're six, I'm not kidding, six. Five curriculum advisors and myself. And how do you expect us to go to all the schools, the 24 schools that were there, and check what's happening? The understaff is a very serious issue. And we can't continue singing about that, because each time the president stands up and tries to put his name somewhere and speak, people talk of employment. It must not be the president employing. It's all of us. You know what we say, together we can do better in this country. So if people are not employed, then we don't know why they're not employed, and it's like we must answer as parliamentarians. We must go and tell people why. We end up even lying, because if they want to know from me personally why people are not employed, you don't tell people that you don't know if you're a parliamentarian. You become very naive. So you say, we need to hear from the department. And lastly, you are saying we are going to do, I like what you said, you know, we have to appreciate something when we say, I saw passion in this newly appointed person. There is nothing that can beat passion, trust me. Teachers that do well as teachers would love to be educators. If there's one thing I miss, is to be in the classroom teaching, trust me. Because you go there with everything that you are having and give it to the kids, and you always do better than all the other people. I see that we have passion, and we're just appointed. I do a serious follow-up. And Mrs. Chobela, please help this newly appointed person, and those of you who are sitting in new positions, I would like to congratulate you and say we're expecting better things. Nobody gets a promotion without people seeing that they can do better. We don't want to sit next time and still talk of different results from different places when we are controlling, how many schools did you say, 1620 schools, are they national? Are those the only, are they all the schools that we're having?
Speak through me, honorable member.
Okay,
don't ask questions.
26,000 schools, ne? All right. I was like saying we need this information. I know we are supposed to go to the computers, but some of us were born before these computers. So if you give us this thing written down, it's easier so that we are able to tell. People want to know from members of parliament how many schools are there. You still speak of 24 schools where you were teaching, and they don't understand what you are doing in parliament. So we would need that information. Thank you.
Okay, and it's still there,
can you?
And
you didn't tell people I just got a grandchild. Come on.
And we congratulated you already this morning. Honorable Lavo, he's excited.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got a number of questions, so I'll try and keep them short. The Interministerial Committee report takes as a given the Polokwane decision to establish NIDU. So it doesn't look at, and in fact it states that, it doesn't look at the rationale behind establishing such a body. It takes it as a given, its decision has been made, and it looks at how best to structure such a body. Now, I'm not convinced of the need for such a body. There seems, and it seems we all still are confused about the overlap. Please can you expand on the need for such a body and what research perhaps was done to reach the conclusion that that body was in fact required? Just adding to that, why do we need, so the words at arm's length were used. Why do we need something at arm's length? If you look at the Department of Environmental Affairs, for instance, Chairperson, they produce regularly a State of the Environment report, internally, not externally, internally. It is absolutely credible and without needing something at arm's length. I'm interested in budget projections. In the Interministerial Committee report, Jonathan Janssen indicates in the region of 420 million rand per annum. So I'm interested in whether you have come up with any budget projections. The work thus far, according to the NIDU bill, you have certain authorities visiting, interacting, for instance, at schools, provinces, districts, etc. How does that authority work without any legal mandate? The minister said go ahead as if the bill has been promulgated or enacted. Quite how does that work? And then linked to that, how is NIDU going to interact with the provinces? Because NIDU has quite a few powers with respect to, like, the authority to visit schools, the authority to interact with districts, etc. A lot of asking a lot of questions, assessing in different ways. Would this always be done in conjunction with provinces? Would provinces be consulted? And then I think I'll make my last question for now, Chair, just clearer understanding. In the NIDU bill, under functions, 6.2 specifically says that you must assess classroom teaching, educator knowledge, learner knowledge, professional management, etc., etc. And ultimately, you hope to come up with a state of the, I don't think it's in the bill, but a state of the of education report. Now, the interview method that you have described, where your field workers will go and interview. They will interview the principal, interview the SGB chair, interview as many teachers as possible, and then also analyze teacher records and learner books. There's absolutely no mention of sort of on-site assessment, sitting in a classroom and watching a teacher teach, which I know there would be an aversion to, but I don't understand how you are going to, through interviews, how you are going to really get to grips with the level of classroom teaching, the level of educator knowledge, and the level of learner knowledge specifically. If you could explain that a little further, please. Thank you, Chair.
The Honourable Donald Smale.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I've got three questions to Nidhu and then four to the delivery unit. Chairperson, adding to what my colleague has said about our concern about Nidhu's existence or the establishment of Nidhu, I would like to raise the following question. And it is clear that you've stated in your mission that you will facilitate. And it is also clear that with regard to the delivery unit that there is no overlapping for that matter as we see it now. But are there any other units or programs where you may overlap in a sense? And having said that, maybe the other side of the same coin is to ask, have you identified any programs who will be your main beneficiaries within DBE nationally, as well as within the districts or provinces for that matter? Then can we have I don't know when will you release the report, the Mount Frere report, which I think is very recent. I would love to see it or have information about it. Then, non-compliance of districts or DBE or whoever on your recommendations, do you have a remedy? Do you have a redress or a recourse mechanism when your recommendations are not implemented? Because we see many of these things. Let me make an example. I'm not saying it is the case, but my concern is about the White Paper 6, which is gathering dust, and inclusive education or the needs, special needs education is getting not a fair chance. Chairperson, then with regard to the planning and delivery unit, firstly, may I know the program 4, which is planning information unit or the program in the department, whether you part of that or you entity on your own, not, and what is their role in this, because there is a DDG for that, I think. Then, districts, the development of districts and the support to districts. Since you have identified, which I do agree, we will have to look at districts, the vacancies, because you need to have a person there. If Mr. Smiles, as the district of Graaf Reinet district, is not doing his work, district manager, and you depend on support and monitoring and everything of what is happening in the office of Mr. Smiles, then vacancies should be filled. And putting
competent people there. Otherwise, the delivery will not take place. Let me give an example. Graaf-Reinet district, Craddock district, Maluti district, Kofun-Waba districts, those are the better performing districts. They are of the eight. They are the better, there are 8 and 15 non-performing districts. So of the 8, I can mention you some of those, because I know some of those managers, the district managers, and I can see like a principal at a school. You, if you see the principal, you see his office, you see entrance, then you know what can you expect. So I can say, I know those district managers, they perform because they are good managers, district managers. So the vacancies, there are vacancies right now, as we speak. So we need, maybe as part of your the intervention powers that you have, maybe come up with some plans in that case. District plans, they're available. Will you be able also in terms of, especially in Limpopo and Eastern Cape, will you be able to provide, to say to them, you don't have district plans, this is the district plans that we have developed. Let's consult it and consider whether it can be implemented. Then why the enforcement and ensuring compliance is a problem? Why is it a problem? Is it again the one that I don't want to speak about?
It's also the you maybe.
Yes, you're right, colleague. And then lastly, the tools for monitoring and support and evaluation. Where are they? Can we have a copy maybe, or direct us please to those tools so that we can see what they are. Thank you.
Honourable Bonshana.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you both the presenters. I've got 4 questions. The first one is on to both NIDU and the service delivery unit. Currently we have people who are employed to monitor and to assist districts, but they seem to be an endangered species, the inspectors of schools. Have these become redundant? Why is there this paralysis? Why are they not performing what they are supposed to do? Where is the problem there? That's the first question. The second one is on the community and community interest and participation. You talk of a protocol which would assist, which will be drawn up by the department to assist members in adopting schools. I haven't seen that protocol. Has the department drawn up that protocol to assist us to adopt schools? That's the second one. The third one is on index for more explanation from page 13 to 18. Is it the current situation where you talk of, you know, where you have these figures, percentages on curriculum coverage, teacher content knowledge? Is that the current situation? And perhaps you could also talk more on the teacher content knowledge. I'm very poor at in interpreting graphs and this sort. The last one is enforcement, which seems to be a challenge currently. What mechanism do you foresee that you'll have developed to have this enforcement of implementation and the rest?
Honourable Dudley, then Honourable Gina.
Thanks. Can you hear me without the mic?
Use the mic, please.
Um,
thank you. I was also, in terms of the planning and delivery oversight unit, wondering around about the compliance situation related to just that statement that in 2009 the comments were made about more effective government being more effective in their actions, the quality of services needing a focus on outcome, you know, that, and then the fact that there is now a delivery unit. It's taken seemingly quite an amount of time for us not to have changed much on that statement, if somebody had to say anything today. So I wanted to hear from you how you felt the delivery unit, had the delivery unit actually impacted somehow on that statement, or does there have to be a complete rethink, or what in terms of international best practice is perhaps not happening with our delivery unit that happens with others? Where are we falling short on that concept, which seemed to be a brilliant idea? And then just to do with Nidu, we had a very brilliant presentation not so long ago where some very interesting information was brought to our attention, and I know it wasn't fully a report, it was something in between. We were going to get back to it. Mm-hmm. I just wondered what happened to that report, that information. What is the status of it? Where does it go? Who's getting to use that information? And you know, because obviously it would seem a pity if it was just shelved and away.
Honourable Gina.
Chairperson, thank you. Chair, my observation from the presentation, the good presentation that you have received today, is that still within our system there is no integration amongst the programs and the initiatives that you have as the department. I will first start with the issue of the district improvement plans or the schools improvement plans. Really, the report shows that whatever goes to those schools, whatever goes to yeah, because the main target are the schools. We're talking of things like IQMS, Chairperson. Mm-hmm. We're talking about things like OCTDP, where those are all programs where we can identify the challenges, the loopholes, and where we need to fill in as the system. But for me, to get a report saying we don't even have proper school improvement plans, of which those directly talk to these programs, some of them that I've just mentioned, of which they will build up even to the plans like the district improvement plans. It means really whatever we throw in there, we don't have yet the means and ways of integrating them all, bringing them all together to make sure that we improve our system. I think that is the greatest loophole that you can get out of such reports that you are getting, because for me, you cannot tell me that you don't have a district improvement plan, whereas there are school improvement plans that talk to the challenges that are there. Whereas you cannot, it's even a little bit impossible. Yes, you might have guidelines of coming up with a district improvement plan, but it must be informed by what is happening down there. What is it that they are saying themselves they need to, you know. So if really we are still failing to do that, I don't see where we are going to as the country. Secondly, Chair, this one has been said, but I just want to add again. The issue of duplication of roles. When you look at what the Planning and Delivery Oversight Unit is doing, I will come to NIDU. Exactly, this is what has been mentioned here. We have got provinces, we have got districts, we have got circuits, we have got school principals. And the main objective of all these levels that I've mentioned is to make sure that effective teaching and learning is taking place at school. To make sure that curriculum coverage is that, you know. But now we are seeing again this oversight unit, this delivery unit coming up there. I was saying, because sometimes we need to be open and just be frank. Are we admitting, as we are seated here, to say really, really there is something wrong within our education? Because I think that is where we need to begin. And from what you are gathering, from our discussions, all of us here, I think that is where we need to begin, as to say, really, we are seated here with a huge problem as a country, because we have got people who are employed, but who are not doing their job. Mm-hmm. That is why we now see the duplication of roles. Because for Ms. Jobeka and her team to go down to those districts, there are people employed who are getting paid every day, who wake up every day for them to do the same job that we see this unit going down there to do. What is it that they are doing? And I'm just proposing that whenever these delivery units go down to those districts, let them come up with the report and recommendations as to say, what is it that you need to do with those people who are seated there not doing their job, getting paid for sweet nothing? Mm-hmm. Because that is the implication of what we are getting here now. And also to say, are we seeing this unit, what lifespan is it having? Mm-hmm. Are we going to see this unit going on for how long? Because maybe for now, if ever we, as we are agreeing that we have a challenge, it's for them to go down there and make sure that people they remind people of their roles that are being employed for. And then we see them being withdrawn after people have been motivated to do their job, as it is not happening right now. So maybe if ever we can talk of that lifespan of the of this unit as to, in your plans, how far are you going to go? Mr. Jobeka, in your report again, I think I was a little bit touched to where you talk of curriculum choices that is made by some of the schools. And you mentioned more of the factors contributing to that. When you talk of the issue of space, maybe no spaces, no teachers, then that is why you find some of the schools having curriculum choices that does not help the child. You know, we're always talking of maths lit versus mathematics. We want to our student to be exposed to SCAS skills subject. But it's a fact, we cannot expect those schools to choose maths whereas they know that there are no maths teachers. We cannot expect those schools to offer physical sciences when we know that there are no teachers to do that. As to say, yes, these are the things that you are coming up with. How best can we make sure that at the end that child does not suffer? Because really, what is it that we say to the school? We want the children to be exposed to mathematics, but if we as the department cannot supply those teachers, you know, how do we marry the situations that you find there? Because sometimes they are justified to do that. Yes, we want them to expose them, but if we don't provide teachers, where are they going to? They will choose those subjects, they will get 0% because there is no teacher to do that. As to say, how do you marry this situation really out of the findings as you go down there? Because at the end, you want to see those children being assisted. Need to. Thank you very much for the report. I think Ms. Dudley again has covered me. I was a little worried of the report that we got last year from NIDU, where today we get that it was a little bit premature to come up with such a report. But well, there are good things we got out of it, but what is the status of it now? And Chair, I will emphasize again the duplication of roles, even today from the presentation that we have got. For me, there is no clear distinction as to say, this is what NIDU is doing, this is what the delivery unit is doing, this is what all the processes that are there within the department are doing. If really we cannot see this duplication, or we say, UNIDU, or we say, INIDU just identify maybe the factors and the problems that are there, and I'm not sure really for now. I cannot go out and tell people as to say, what is the role of NIDU? Where to, you know, in as much as it is needed, but if ever you can clarify that, maybe we should wait for the bill, where we study the bill and try to understand it. But as for now, for me, I can't go out and explain and tell another person what role should they play. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mm-hmm. Oh, lastly, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Ms. Jobeka, yesterday I was called by one of the FET institutions in Potchefstroom in KZN. I just want to share with the whole house, but I will give you these copies. It's because I'm reminded of this, the graph that you have just shown.
where you say the paragraph length writing is not there at schools.
Mm.
That's one of the things. Maybe I also have another life in higher education and training where we always say the throughput rate in the FET colleges is not good. One thing that they came up with, I've got this document, is to say, yes, you sit there in parliament, you bash on us, say we're not producing good results. Of course, it's like that. They say, what is it that you can produce out of a paragraph? You know, this is the FET level. The topic is just a wedding day of a wedding of the year, where a learner, a student, had to write a paragraph on that.
Mm.
I was shocked. And it talks directly to what you're saying. If ever we don't give our learners at school to write just a sentence, this is the results, this is the product that you're having. If you can read this, you can be shocked. You don't even know whether there is nothing.
Mm.
And it's really a challenge. Even if I can write, let me read one line. In the last 3 years, I go, my mom was working in Tupine Town, she working, make by the side. That is the kind of, you know, it's shocking, and we must do something around this. Starting from the very early ages, because, look, this learner is expected to go out and work there. How on earth, you know, it's still a problem, it's a challenge. I was happy if ever. You mentioned that in your report, because I feel and I think there's something that is going to be taken care of. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks a lot. What I would like to speak to, we as a committee, we visit different provinces and we have findings and recommendations. And listening to Mrs. Tobeka, she's speaking about CAPS, and we have a lot of recommendations on CAPS as a committee. Textbooks, workbooks, teachers, district support, provincial support, leadership. And I would like to know, where do all these recommendations that we give fall in? Because we also speak to different things. Because we are seeing what is happening on the ground. And listening to you speaking and looking at what we are doing, we are not seeing that people are serious when it comes to our recommendations given to the department. Then I'd like to speak to when it comes to these districts, powers are allocated from the functions from the province to districts. I'd like to know which 15 districts have powers delegated to them. Because I know when it comes to the metro, they can speak in when it comes to temporary teachers or displaced teachers or substitute teachers, etc. And those things are so important because our policy says when it comes to substitute teachers, within 48 hours, if someone is going on leave, and, you know, substitute teachers must be replaced, etc. There are many displaced principals and educators. What is being done about that? When it comes to our LTSM, and you are saying you are working with schools. Is there audit of all the schools that received their LTSM? Because as we're sitting here, when it comes to workbooks and textbooks, we found in our last visit that these were not delivered. And even like last week that we heard about, you know, when it comes to Limpopo, that took the department to court. So speak to these things, because therefore I think the work was a bit harsh on you, because these are issues that is worrying us as a committee. Thank you. You may start.
I was looking at someone else. I think Tata Hanyaho
You just disturbed me a bit. I think he has one question that he would like to ask, and then you can answer. Thank you. Tata?
One question.
I know, no,
let me give one. No, it's really just an issue of clarification from Nidu. You said something like 17, a team of 17 field workers. Is it 17 in each province, or is it one team that operates in all the provinces? I wasn't very clear about, are they stationed at head office and then go out to various schools when the need arises? That's all I wanted to know.
Any more thoughts?
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. I will try and pick up those that were specific to the role of the planning and delivery oversight. And I think it's important to look at the name of the units as well, because we provide oversight on planning and delivery in the system, and work with and through our colleagues in the department. So your circuit inspectors don't get made redundant. What we do is, when things are not happening with them, we assist to make sure that the work is done. If it's around planning or delivery, those are the things we pick up and we try to help and block. But you are right, Honorable Makuwet. The work of the planning and delivery oversight is not limited to the 15 underperforming districts. The way the unit is conceptualized is to look at those areas where serious blockages have been identified, for us to work and partner with people around those areas to make sure that the work happens. However, for now, the major area that was identified is these 15 underperforming districts, and therefore the work has started in these 15 underperforming districts. And perhaps to link to what Honorable Ginner says, I don't think it means that nothing is happening in the system. If you contextualize my report and our work as being focused on areas in the system that are found to be underperforming, and underperformance at this point we've put at performing below 60% as a district. Next year it will be 70%, because we're constantly trying to push the bar. If you look at it that way, the things that I'm reporting on are things that you would expect to see. And I think it is fair to say, in a system that has over 26,000 schools, you will have schools that will underperform. I think it's normally in any system. If you look at even international practice, you will find that programs like, for instance, No Child Left Behind and all of those are a recognition that in any system, and our system is huge, there will be pockets of underperformance. And therefore, the delivery unit is meant to say, where are we picking up the underperformance? Work, partner, and unblock, understand, and make sure things happen. And that, in fact, also responds to what the chairperson was saying, because the work of the delivery unit is informed by all of the things that are brought to the attention of the department through various processes, including what the members bring to our attention. So the issues that are picked up by the portfolio committee on visits, those are some of the things that, this time we're looking at the 15 underperforming districts, but there's lots more. Your distribution of books, your appointment of teachers, but let me rather go through the questions as they then come. And therefore, Honorable Makubela, I do think that we ourselves, and you can see, and I think Honorable Dudley may not be aware, when we started, I also indicated that I'm also not as new as Nick, perhaps, but also a new appointee. I wish I could say it was a promotion. It is not a promotion. Sometimes I'm not sure whether it's not a poison chalice. But anyway,
So I've been moved sideways as a DDD. I've been moved to actually head this particular unit. But the two of us will continue to discuss because the roles are meant to be complementary rather than overlapping. And where there is an overlap in the process of implementation, we will look at improving. Honorable Makubela also asked about what we're doing relative to multi-grade schools. And you are right, we cannot report on delivery. I've said in working with province, with the districts, that's one area that we're looking at. We're currently looking at the role and utilization of ICTs in those schools to assist. So perhaps in a later meeting when we have something to report, we will be able to report. We're working with our teams in teacher development, curriculum management and delivery, as particularly the unit on innovation to look at how to... can I... And you are right, there are two processes that I reported on. One is the adoption of poor performing districts by parliamentarians, a recent decision of cabinet. The framework is not yet there, but we are looking at that, and I'm responding to Honorable Mpotjane as well, who referred to that. But we take your point, sir, about probably not looking just at the underperforming ones, and looking at good ones as well, so that there can be lessons that are transferred. But perhaps, can I say that is about adoption of poor performing districts, not schools. The NEDLAC Accord speaks to schools, and this is why we're trying to clarify the framework, because what we wouldn't like to see happen, as has happened in the past, is perhaps the Minister of Police or the Minister of Correctional Services going to schools and making pronouncements on educational issues. So this is more in the context and in the environment where we're trying to make sure that our communities take interest and hold us accountable and know what they can expect from us. So we're looking at that. There was a question on the issue of why are we finding it very difficult to ensure compliance. I am not saying that it is not happening. Again, we're working in the poorest areas, but we recognize and accept as a department that where we haven't been strong is to ensure compliance across the, consequences for non-compliance across the system. And it's something that we continue to work on. It does happen in some instances. The policies are there. It's ensuring that every person in the system actually does what they're supposed to do. Honorable Mashishi, you... So you are responded to?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then Honorable Mushwana, raised the issue of district improvement plans and school improvement plans very sharply. Because of what we have encountered and what we are uncovering in these districts, the department through HEDCOM has taken a decision to have a common template for the development of DIPs. We cannot, the question was, can't you develop one and give them? We cannot do that, because it's based on the context. But the template and clear time frames by when should these DIPs be in place. Yesterday we took a presentation from the Western Cape with a very simple format for a district improvement plan, simple format for a school improvement plan, which we are looking at using across. So there's also sharing of best practice across, and that we will do. The issue of appointments in districts in particular. Firstly, let me say, I'm sure the honorable members are aware that we had a guideline on the roles and responsibilities of districts, because many of the provinces resisted a policy because they felt that we were forcing them to do things that they didn't have the money for. but because we found that it was the struggling districts continued to struggle because there wasn't a policy. We've now moved towards a policy, and we published a draft policy. It has now closed, but it does look at minimum staffing levels. It does look at minimum roles and responsibilities. So those are out, and I'm sure the honourable members have seen that. I do want to say, however, our focus has been on guiding in terms of what needs to be done, and we've seen very creative practice, which has actually worked well. I think it was Honourable Smiles who mentioned Maluti as one of the good performing districts. What we are finding, in fact, is that Mount Frere, for instance, will team up with subject advisors from Maluti to go to visit schools. But it's a new thing, and it's also informed by the work that we were doing in the district. So we have seen a little bit of that. Honourable Lovemore refers to the overlap, but I think, in fact, Nick will correct me. I was the one who used arm's length. He used more autonomous. But I'm sure he will explain this when he explains the question, when he responds to the questions. I've responded to some of the questions, Honourable Smith, that you referred to, because there was a lot of overlap. Yeah. But can I just say, in terms of the tools, we will make the tools available. And again, just to emphasize that we in the Planning and Delivery Oversight Unit, we don't develop the tools. We take tools because we don't want to duplicate, we don't want to complicate. We take tools that are developed, and these on curriculum coverage have been developed by the curriculum branch. What we make sure of is that what has been developed, either to support or monitor, is being used and is available. Honourable Mponjane, I've also responded to your question on the inspectors. In terms of the adoption of schools, there is a protocol available. It's part of the NEDLAC Accord, and that we can make available. It's the adoption of districts by parliamentarians that is not available. But could I also emphasize that, I mean, I did allude to the interest that we're seeing in communities. It is absolutely amazing, but it is not just the interest, it is what communities enable us to see, which we're not seeing as a delivery unit. In our work in the Eastern Cape, it's been the community members who will say that school has been without a principal for 5 years, because as government officials, when we talk together, sometimes you find that people are not giving you the true story. So being held accountable by communities and bringing them on board has been an amazing benefit to the work that we do. Honourable Dudley also talked about compliance. I think I've responded to that. And Honourable Ginna, just to really say to you, we truly are not trying to give a sense of a system that is failing. However, I think as people who work in education, if we were not to be honest with yourselves here to say there are challenges and they persist, I think we would be doing a disservice to this country. So when we're seeing challenges, we think there's a lot of good that's being done, and we'll continue to focus on those areas. And therefore, as a Planning and Delivery Oversight Unit, when we come and present, it will always be on the challenges, because that's what we need to do. Chairperson, I've responded to your questions, but in terms of the provinces, you said which provinces which districts have delegations in the Eastern Cape. We only received the report yesterday. The acting SG, Mr. Ngonzo, when I was presenting my report to HEDCOM, indicated that he'd given delegations. We will find the information for you. But it's a new thing, and that includes the appointment of teachers. He announced appointment filling of some of the vacancies yesterday, and he said he had appointed over 400 teachers yesterday, and again because of what we had raised with him. And indeed, Chairperson, just finally to say, the point that you raise about what the policy says is exactly what we are trying to monitor and understand and unblock in the system. The policies are there, but in many parts of the system are not implemented in accordance with what needs to be done. Thank you.
Just
hold on.
Before we go to Nedu, any follow-ups quickly? Any follow-ups?
Sure.
Just hold on. Switch off. There's Ombo Makubela, too, and Musto, besides Mponshana. All right, Ombo Mponshana and then Ombo Makubela. Follow-ups.
It's not a follow-up. I think there's one question that I asked whether those figures, that picture you're giving, is it current or there's been an improvement on what we are being given there?
Thank you. That was part of your question. Honorable Makubela.
Just to, I think there are follow-up, Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the first, it's a follow-up on the basis that I feel it was not answered. No attempt on it. The poorly used workbooks and textbooks by teachers when we speak. The second, which is really a follow-up, is that the issues raised by Honorable Gina on the system that seems to be either not talking to each other or doing work that is being done by other people and so on. Just to ascertain, Snidu may respond to her. If there is such happening in the system, my view is that Nidu should pick up on that and assist in what should happen. If there are areas which we think are cumbersome and to some degree need straightening up and all that, can we be assured that Nidu could pick on that and assist the system and so on? Thanks.
And also, I don't think I got a satisfactory answer on the role of inspectors of schools, because I feel these people should be monitoring and evaluating what is it that they are not doing and why.
Are they there?
Are they there? They are there. In fact, it links to what Comrade Gina said. There are people who are employed, getting paid. Why are they not doing their job?
Thanks a lot for that, Honorable Labmo.
Thank you, Chair. Just to follow up with the oversight unit, in respect of delivery of textbooks specifically, how does it happen? It's been mentioned a few times. How does it happen if we have a unit that is doing oversight on delivery? How does it happen that we end up in court and the department being found to have violated children's constitutional rights to education by not delivering or not even ordering textbooks 5 months into the year? That we have a warehouse that was discovered outside King Williamstown in the Eastern Cape filled with many tons of textbooks that were supposed to be delivered last year. How does that sort of thing happen? Just on the Section 27 case, on the Limpopo case, according to Section 27's affidavits, the founding affidavit, the Director General was informed of the Department of Basic Education, was informed last year that orders had not been placed for Limpopo. Surely your unit gets involved in something like that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Gina, are you going to ask anything or are you going to leave it as such? Because look, you have to tell us what are they doing, the people at the bottom that's not doing their work. There are people in place. Thank you.
Yes, Chair. No, I'm waiting for Nidu to come in because, mine would be.
I'm giving you a small little bite, then we're going to Nidu. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The issue that Honorable Makubela raises, it really is about poor management and leadership, which is an area that we're looking at. Because it's curriculum management, the issue of workbooks and books that are not being used. And then you have said maybe the media will respond to this. But again, to emphasize that the planning and delivery unit is an extremely small unit that, unless the responsible officials, and I'm responding to Honorable Lovemore's question as well, and therefore the people who are responsible for workbooks and LTSM are the people who go and intervene. And I cannot speak on whether they were alerted or not, but I must explain the issue of the workbooks that were found in the Eastern Cape. Firstly, one of the things that I put on the table is that the workbooks, the way of delivering them is directly to the schools. In the districts, those are surplus books. So they could be there and not be in the schools. However, the ones in the Eastern Cape were not our workbooks. The ones in the workbook in the Eastern Cape belonged to a publisher. And these were old workbooks that were destined to be shredded and were not new workbooks that, that are aligned to the curriculum. But that's something that can be followed up. We did have a, there is a response that the Eastern Cape Department had sent through to the Sunday Times for publication over the weekend. It wasn't published, but it was to explain that those workbooks are not recent workbooks. They were not workbooks that were destined for schools. They were kept there in, indeed on their way for shredding. Honorable Mponjane, the figures, indeed, I mean figures in education, these you can see, I quoted external sources. These were the most recent that we had, and that was 2009 with most of them, when we have newer, but the situation in education doesn't change every day, doesn't change that rapidly. And I don't know, so I think I have responded to the issues. The issues of the Section 27, I will really leave to the Director General because I'm not aware of what he knew and what he didn't know.
We are handing over to Dr. Taylor.
Okay, can I just say, I mean, Nick will pick up on the inspectors. What we have are circuit managers and EDOs, and indeed some of them, their work can be strengthened. They haven't been made redundant. It's to continue to monitor. They're not circuit inspectors.
I mean, they're not inspectors.
Chairperson, if I may introduce myself first. My name is...
you can have a mic.
Chairperson, now I'm Yusuf Gabru. I am a part-time chief director in NEDU and have been there for at least the last year. I want to deal with the fundamental issue of why NEDU and does it need to exist. But I just want to preface my comments on that by saying that when the Ministerial Committee first reported in 2009, the Ministerial report was put out for public comment. And there was extensive response to the document. Nobody really challenged the existence, the proposal that there should be an independent unit. There's been very little opposition to it. Our bill, our proposed bill, has also been put out for public comment, as you know, and I'll talk a bit about that in a minute. And again, whilst there was not the same amount of response to the bill, and rather less than we would have hoped for, there's generally been a very warm welcome to the idea of a unit that is independent of the department and reporting on the department. Now, let me start there. That's where I should start. I think, Honourable Member, that there is a clear recognition, as my colleague has just said, that there are fundamental challenges in the education system. I don't think anybody can deny that. I don't think we should deny it. It's very, very clear that there are very serious problems because many people don't do their jobs in the system, because people are not trained properly, and also because we have a very, very complex system. I don't want to make excuses, but don't ever lose sight of the complexity of our system. Just think of the languages that we have to teach in, and try to think of what happens in grade 1, 2, and 3 when you introduce a language that people haven't spoken. They speak one language at home, they hear another language in the street, and then you want to try and teach them mathematics in English and Afrikaans. It's a very, very complex system. So let's never lose sight of the complexity besides all the other socio-economic problems which we have. So I think that the minister herself is taking a very brave step here by saying that, recognizing that we have very serious problems in education. There are several, let's talk about the department now, not as separate provincial and national units. Let's talk about the Department of Education as if it is one unit. And I think what's being said is that we've got this education unit. We're trying to do a lot of things to improve it. And what the, not just the minister, because all the provincial ministers have accepted the idea of NEDU, so as all the heads of departments in each of the provincial departments. They are saying, let's create a unit that is independent of the department, that stands outside of the department, that has a focus on the department, looks at it critically, and then come and tell us what you think, what we as NEDU thinks is right or wrong about it. Now, that's quite a brave step. I take the point that you're making about the Department of the Environment. I'm not sure that the report in the Department of Environment is on the department itself. Yeah, what the minister is saying, an independent unit to look at us as a whole and then look at it in detail. I'll come back to that in a minute. Look at it and then make recommendations for us. And then, as the bill will say, and you, we've presented that part of the bill to you in the past, the bill will say that the minister cannot ignore the recommendations that we make. So that's quite a drastic step. That's quite a drastic step. You might, it's not the same, and I don't want to pursue with this analogy which I've made before, you can think of it as the Auditor General in education. It's not quite the same thing, but you could think of it. Somebody from outside looks at the department, examines it in detail, and then reports. You will see in the ministerial report that the recommendation is that we should try to attract, people with very high levels of skill in education into NEDU. So that we do have a group of people who are expert, proven expertise in education, who puts the education system under a microscope in all its facets and then makes recommendations. Now, that's a very brave thing for any minister to do. And I think that that's what we're in the process of doing. Why should it be independent of the department? So that when people look at the recommendations, everybody takes it seriously. We don't say this is just the department trying to justify why they can't implement policy. But look, colleagues, you all know if you're involved in education, policy is one thing, implementation is a completely different thing. All the examples of bad education that you talk about, that you visit and so on, is about the non-implementation of policy. Okay? That's a fact. This doesn't just happen in our education system. It happens all over the world in most government departments. So that's why to have an independent unit will be beneficial to the minister and to the country. Our reports will not simply be written quietly somewhere and then given to the minister and say, have a look at it. If you look at the bill that we are proposing, our reports will go to the National Minister of Education. She must, as soon as she receives a report from us, table that report at the Council of Education Ministers, at the next meeting of the Council of Education Ministers. The copy of the bill that you have, what no doubt is a little bit old, but what the new version says, when the report is tabled, the minister can engage us on the report, but she's still got to table it at the Council of Education Ministers. So these reports have to be taken seriously. It also places a huge burden on NEDU to do very serious work. Okay, we must become the research center. Now, we've got other centers like that, and people are justified in asking, is there no duplication? We've got the Human Science Research Council that does research on education. All the universities that do work on research on education. What's different from us? We can collect all of those, we can commission them, we can take all the relevant education research, we can look at it and we can say to the minister, look, we've brought all the expertise to bear on this issue. We've done, you see, in the bill it says that there must be evidence for the, our reports must be evidence-based. So we've got all this research, we've done some evidence in the school, and this is our recommendation for you. I don't want to use an example because all the examples are so serious. The minister will have to listen to that carefully. Okay, that I think is the value of this unit. An independent unit that brings all the expertise to bear and then makes recommendations. Are there other examples like this in other countries? Yes, independent units with slightly different focus. If you take, and if you read the report, you'll see that there's a lot of references made to Ofsted in the United Kingdom. And in fact, a lot of their expertise came here, and in Gauteng we have a unit that was almost based on them. But what is Ofsted? Ofsted is an independent inspector. We're not an independent inspectorate, but we will be performing tasks of going to schools, district offices, national offices, to monitor and evaluate, Dr. Taylor said. So, in our minds, we are very clear that there is a need for this unit. There was a very pertinent question, are there other units that may do similar work in the department, and is there overlap? Yes, there could be. There could be. There's still whole school evaluation that exists within the various provinces. There is IQMS and there's the delivery unit. There's going to be some overlap. There's no doubt about it. I don't think we should be afraid of overlap. There will be. We've got 28,000 schools and 81 districts. And if you take all the numbers of people who are involved in monitoring and evaluation in every province and in the delivery unit, if you get more than 1,000, I would be very surprised. There are very, very few people doing the kind of work that we are doing. You saw in the statistics that we gave you that only in 3 years' time will we be able to go through all the districts, and then we're only going to be visiting 2,000 schools. So we're not going to be doing, it may be that in the work that we do, if we go to the Eastern Cape, it may be that the delivery unit has been in the same district. I don't see that as a major problem, and I can't see a lot of overlap happening in any case, just because of the sheer volume of the work. Colleagues, I'm going to go to the Honourable Member Lovemore's question first, and then I will deal with all the others. In relation to the budget, the Ministerial Committee envisaged a huge structure for NEDU, a huge structure, and I think they proposed a budget of 400 million or something like that. So we are not proposing anything like that. Currently our budget is, I think for this year it was 11 million. I don't deal with budgets, it may have been a little bit more. We are proposing that in the first year our budget should be in the region of 50 million for starting up and putting up all the infrastructure, websites, information, research, etc., etc. We don't have a lot of detail about the other years. But the structure that we envisage is quite different from the structure that was envisaged in the Ministerial Committee. Okay, as you would have seen from the report that Dr. Taylor did for you. Will the provinces be consulted? We intend to work in a cooperative way, and as the emphasis was on facilitation, yes, we work with the provinces. We're not going to, even you see in the bill that we proposed, and again there are some changes from the one that you may have seen, the authority that we will have to go to schools and district offices will be a negotiated thing. We will give notice to a school that says we're coming there to come, and we will go to the district We'll say that we want to visit your district, we'll develop a protocol for that, and so on. So we obviously will consult with the provinces. The provinces is where the education is implemented. That's where the main power to implement education policy is. So we will definitely work with them. Dr. Taylor will deal with the question you raised about the collecting of data and so on. So let me now try to go through all the other questions that were raised about us. First, let me just deal with the last report which we presented to this committee. Colleagues, that last report, and we explained in some detail when we did that report to this committee, that the visits that we did during that time were exploratory visits. At that time, NEDU consisted almost of four full-time people. There was a CEO, a chief director, two part-time chief directors, and one deputy director. There was five in number, but the equivalent of four full-time posts. What we started doing was to visit schools to try and develop some protocols, to test some instruments, and those kinds of things. We spent at least a week in a district, and then, because we had mentioned this to you at our first meeting, you asked us to come and do an interim report, which is what we came to do. We said then that we were a bit reluctant to do those reports, because they were not focused reports on schools. You know, they were not like the ones that we've just gone through with 17 field workers. But we can conclude those reports, and I'm sure that NEDU will have no problem in writing up that report in detail and giving it to you. Chair, whilst I'm on the question of field workers, let me say what we have at the moment are a head office complement of, again, the equivalent of this time five full-time staff. We have one researcher. We now have a new CEO. We have one chief director. There's another chief directorship that's shared. And then in the field, we have about between 18 and 20 field workers. Between two and three in each province. They live in the province that they're supposed to work in. At the moment, what has been happening is because we've been visiting provinces, we've been bringing them all together and working as a team. But they will no doubt in time, between both working collectively and doing work within the province in which they reside. It seems to me that I've gone through, in doing that sort of general response, that I've gone through quite a lot of the issues that were raised. I'm going to hand over to Dr. Taylor to take and to look at the issues that I may not have responded to. And then, of course, if I have done that, I apologize. In the follow-up, we'd be more than willing to respond.
Thank you, Yusuf. Colleagues, so many good questions, and many of them are questions we've been grappling with ourselves. So we don't have definitive answers for all of them. But I want to take them in groups, and I think the largest group is a cry from yourselves that I hear that, and I think Honourable Gina captured it best by saying, are there people in the system that are not doing their jobs? And it's just this general sense that our schooling system is kind of really sluggish and inefficient. Colleagues, there are many people in the system who are not doing their jobs. And I want to say that arises from three reasons. First of all, there are some people who are, you know, in Afrikaans we would say, alas mutsvalach, they are deliberately, they're naughty, they're not doing their jobs. They're ducking. I don't believe there are many people like that anymore. I mean, I think in the first 5 to 10 years of democracy, there was a lot of that. Schools were very dysfunctional. I remember Minister Asmal came in and he was absolutely shocked by what he saw. Colleagues, I think a lot of that stuff has been squeezed out of the system. Although you do still get teachers staying away, you know, 20 to 30 days a year and that kind of thing. But even with those people, I have seen that in a school where there's a dynamic principal and there's a sense of work and purpose in the school, the teachers come to work. They don't only come to work on time, they come early in the morning, they stay late in the afternoon. They catch the spirit of what it means to be a teacher. So that's the first category of people who are not doing their jobs. And it's quite small and they can be inspired. I mean, many people actually want to work better. Which leads me to the second category. Many people don't know what their jobs are. And I think this is one of our big purposes, is to actually point that out to them. Let me give you a couple of examples from our Mount Freer visits week before last. We went to this one school, I forget its name exactly now, I think it was Dikaleni or something like that. And we asked them, have you got your ANA results? You know, the annual national assessment that we've all been hearing so much about? They said, yes, we did the ANAs, but we wrote up the results and we sent them to the district and we didn't keep a copy. Now, you know, they did the work, but they didn't know what to do with them. They just complied. They just sent the list to the district. They didn't understand that you must take those results and analyze them and look at questions that were poorly done and go to the teachers and say, now, you know, this is a symmetry question, yeah, number 3. Do you guys know how to teach symmetry properly? Let's look at that issue. That's how you use the ANA results. Let me give you one other example. St. George's School in junior secondary in Mount Frere, wonderful school established in 1886. Beautiful old building that's still there. Built this fantastic school around it, including a large space for a library. The principal said, you know, the department gave me this building, but they gave me no books, and they gave me no librarian. But he's one of the most dynamic principals I've met, because he got an NGO and a donor to get books into the school and he's hired for the school fees a young man to run the library. It's one of the best libraries I've ever seen. But then we also asked him about the ANAs. Now, you know, what do you do with them? No, he said, well, the teachers wrote them, they marked them, and that's that. So we again explained to this man, who's obviously got a huge initiative and energy in generating things like a library for his school, he doesn't know how to use test results to improve teaching and learning. He just needs to have it explained to him how he can do that. And he was so grateful. He said, wow, you know, you've helped me such a lot. I didn't know these things. So colleagues, that's our second category of person who's not doing their job. It's not that they don't want to. They don't know what their jobs are. And it's a big factor in our schools. We call this instructional leadership, where the school management team helps the teachers plan the curriculum delivery, monitors delivery, looks at the kids' books, takes the assessment results and uses them to improve teaching and learning and to develop their teachers. They don't know how to do their jobs. It's not that they don't want to. It's not that they are mutzvillig. So we can show them what their jobs are. The third category of people is much more difficult, and it's actually the biggest problem we have. When they do know what their jobs are, they don't know how to do them. And this applies particularly to teachers. Teachers don't know their subjects. Colleagues, it's a massive problem in our schools. And for the last 20 years, we've had so many training programs to try and address this problem, and the training programs have not made any difference. We've got to find a better way of training our teachers. Our universities have pumped them full of ACE, accelerated certificates in education. It's made no difference to the teaching. We've got to find a better way of training our teachers. But colleagues, we have got an interim measure for that, and it's what I explained earlier. If you give them a good workbook and say, activity 1 today, activity 2 tomorrow, and so on, and you ask the school management team to assist them to do that and to monitor whether they do that, I think we can improve teaching and learning in our schools dramatically. But so it is an interim measure, but I believe it will make a very big difference. And again, this is one of the jobs we see for ourselves. And just on the same point, and colleagues, I'm addressing a number of your questions now. The one about the workbooks from Honourable Makubela. The one about the dips and sips from Honourable Mushwana. Yusuf has dealt with that one. What about non-compliance? I've explained why they're not complying. Honourable Mponchana, about what are the inspectors doing? They don't know what to do. They also don't know what to do. Teacher content knowledge from Mponchana again. All these issues, I think, relate to the same question about, you know, why is the system not working? And I think I've explained it in my view of it and what I think we should do about it. And I think that's really a huge job for NEDU and an important one. And that's the job I'm excited about. Colleagues, there were a number of other different questions. I can go through them. Honourable Mashishi, you don't have our work program in this pack. We can send you our work program. We haven't quite worked it out yet, but we can do that in the next couple of weeks. We can put a little pack together of things we want to send the portfolio committee, Madam Chair. There's the Mount Frere report as well. We can send you the Mount Frere report if you are interested in that. And that last report, I think Yusuf has dealt with that issue. And then I want to get to Honourable Lovemore's question about classroom observations. It's one of my favourite topics. Staff vacancies. There's a question about staff vacancies, particularly in the districts. I do think it's a problem that there are too few people in the districts to do their work, and we've got to make recommendations about that as well. And we're going to put the provinces on the spot about vacancies, particularly in key areas. But let me get to the methodological question about classroom observations. Colleagues, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it's a big issue, and I feel strongly about it, and we're debating it within NEDU. Can I say that if you follow a teacher for a week, you will see a lot about what that teacher can do and what that teacher can't do. It won't tell you anything about what the other teachers in the school can or can't do, but it will tell you about the one teacher. But if you only see one lesson from one teacher in a school, it's not going to tell you a lot, because that might just be an introductory lesson, or it might be a writing lesson, or it might be a group work lesson. You're seeing one aspect of a fantastically complex thing called teaching and learning. So observing one lesson on one teacher is not going to tell you a hell of a lot. Even if you observe three or four teachers in the school, it's still not going to tell you what they do on a daily basis. So I am, you know, skeptical about the value of classroom observations. I know this sounds heresy, but, you know, I can explain it at greater length if you like. I'm not saying it's not important, but I'm saying there are other things that are possibly more important. What I like to do in a school is look at the children's books. I'm not even concerned so much about teachers' plans, because teachers' plans are what teachers wish they were doing. But the children's books tell you what they actually did. They'll tell you that writing. You look at the kids' books and you will see that kind of writing. And you will see very little writing. My colleague, Mrs. Chobeka, showed you how little writing is shown in schools. By the way, that's research we did at JET. You've got that from our study. So, colleagues, we're in a school for a limited amount of time. We've got a lot of work to do. How do we balance our time? I like to look at things like books, teacher assessment records. I do like to talk to the teachers. And I like to talk to all the teachers, because the one will tell you one thing and another will tell you another thing. And so you triangulate all those views and you get to understand what is actually going on in the school. Because if you only talk to the principal, you will get a very rosy colored picture of what's going on in the school. So you have to talk to all of them. However, we are going to do some classroom observations. And we've decided to pick on the issue of grade one reading. Because for me, that is the most important thing. Of all the very, very important things in any school, the most important thing is learning to read in grade one. If you don't get that, you're going to struggle. So we are going to do that systematically again. We're going to look at the reading in all the grade one classes. We are going to test some of those kids' reading as well on a random sample. We're going to test how well those grade ones can read. Now, if it's early in the year, we'll go to grade two because the kids can't really read yet in the first half of grade one. If it's in the second half of the year, we'll test the grade one readings. So we will do that systematically, and I think by the end of this year, we'll not only present those school reports that I was telling you about, and the district and provincial reports, and an overall report on the school system as we see it, we will also produce a report on early grade reading. So colleagues, and I think, so it's not just an evaluation of schools, but I think using this example of a really well-researched report with empirical evidence from a range of schools, we can present a picture of grade one reading and highlight this issue. So we're going to take issues like that and highlight them as well. Perhaps next year we'll do early grade numeracy and what's going on in our schools and how it could be addressed. Colleagues, I'll wait for your feedback on issues I've missed, but I think we'll leave it at that for now.
It's now 12 o'clock. Let us just have brief comments, you know, follow-ups and brief comments, please. I'll start with Mponshane. I'll go down to Honorable Lavmo. Switch off your mic, please.
Oh.
Or is it interferes with mine? Hey, Sinari. And then I'll go to Makubela and then Honorable Dina. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. No, thank you very much. The empty spaces start to fill in. But there is still this nagging something inside me when we have this independent board, which is, as we explained, necessary. But look, you take as an example, the provincial department of education, the head of the department, many DTGs, many chief directors, many directors, who have to sit with that the system is working, but the system is not working. Now we have got a myriad of legislation so far, good legislation. Do you think there are loopholes in the legislation that we have now that will necessitate NEDU? What? I don't know how to put this, but really something is troubling me inside. You look at the department, province department itself, because your duty will be only advisory. We may have this money. I'm not saying it's a big money. 40 million, 50 million or so. Now, only to offer some sort of advice, which may not be implemented because we'll be dealing with the same people there, you know. Oh, that's just a comment, really.
Honorable Lapmore?
Yeah, Chair, I suppose many of our questions will be answered once we start looking at the bill, yeah. I also still don't, I don't get the need. The question, has there been research into the need for NEDU, or what underpinned the Polokwane decision, hasn't really been answered other than to say that there's generally been a warm welcome to the introduction of the unit, which I acknowledge. There has not been negative comment on the unit. My reading of that, however, is that the department, and I'm not saying the department nationally, I'm saying provincial departments, with the exception perhaps of the Western Cape and Gauteng, of education have no credibility. If something had to come out of the department, I live in the Eastern Cape as well, many of us do in fact, if something were to come out of the Eastern Cape, some sort of assessment of their unit, of their department, it would have absolutely no credibility in my eyes, nor would Limpopo, etc., etc. So, I really, my take is that it's because of lack of credibility of the provincial departments primarily, which certainly reflects then on the national department, that people are welcoming an independent body. I'm not convinced that there is a need for it. And I think that question will have to be answered properly, not just saying that there's generally been a warm welcome. I think there are other reasons why there's a warm welcome. Chair, I just wanted to get an understanding from Dr. Taylor briefly about the development part. Because what's being described, saying to teachers, for instance, take this workbook, work through a lesson a day, etc., etc., is very one-on-one. It's very, very time-consuming. I should imagine it's actually outside the mandate of NIDU. Now, it was mentioned that the bill has been changed. The bill doesn't actually contain development functions. It contains evaluation and assessment functions. There are no development functions in the bill at all, but they are in the name. And certainly what you're describing, sitting with the teacher and showing him or her how to do something, like using a workbook, to get through the curriculum is a development function. So I'd like to understand the name, Evaluation and Development Unit, what you do versus the lack of any development content in the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mushwana, and then Honourable Makubela, and then we'll go to Honourable Hanyako, and then Gina Lau. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to check with Dr. Taylor if I pronounce that name correctly. You see, we are like sitting with a challenge the more you speak about the people not doing their job, the three categories that you give. If people are lucky, they must be a plan what to do with them. Because we cannot record it and we say that there are people like that. There must be a plan to deal with it. Something must be done to change that. It's one thing to recognize them, but it's another thing to come with a plan, a comprehensive plan. And as for people not knowing what their jobs are, versus the many, many workshops. I know that educators go to many workshops. Mm-hmm. There are workshops, if it's just for fun. I mean, people are funded, I know. And maybe to use the funds, they call workshops. But then surely the workshops should bear fruits. Is there any follow-up to check if there's any change? Because we cannot continue like this, and money is like wasted. And finally, those who don't know their subject, still on the workshop, if you don't know your subject matter, being a qualified teacher, it's ridiculous. We can't sit at this stage and still talk of people not knowing the subject matter. Because you go to teach because you are a qualified teacher. Then if it's found that you don't know the subject matter, definitely there must be plan B for you, because you went through college and still you don't know the subject matter. There must be some way of helping. And what are the efforts that the school management team? Because if every school has this team, the SMT, they must be able to assess. I think assessing is very important. It's important to check what people are doing. But it must not just be done for fun. And finally, your Anna, it's good if you say it without putting it in a plural form. Your Anna. We talk of the Anna without being plural, because it means something else. Thank you.
It's just a comment that says that to me, the needs, I don't think perhaps we'll be sitting here now
discuss the need. The system that seems to be having a lot, even if it has successes and there are areas of which needs to be polished, necessitates that. But in the long run, do we see NIDU also assessing itself and being able to see its own demise? To think perhaps we are becoming irrelevant if the system is working very well and therefore need to disappear? Or we see NIDU being there for the duration or the lifespan of the department, as long as there's education department and NIDU should be alongside independent and all that. Because at some point, once the system matures and everybody do their job and so on, you may find that we may not need NIDU at a particular point in time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to look further and say what will be happening at that point without people having to justify their existence all the time, mm-hmm. including some structures in the department. If that can best be served by NIDU, and you don't need some structures in the department that exist, but there's no much meaningfulness in what they do, without them having to justify their existence at the expense of other structures. Because I don't want them to sit there and say, we feel there's no need for the oversight unit because we can do the job.
Mm.
You know? But at the same time, if the oversight unit does their job to the extent that there's no need for NIDU, are we able to arrive at that particular point? You know, because every structure to me is as best as the people who are in there doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Then the need gets to be justified. But if people fail, you can as well say that we don't need this structure, depending on what they are able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would just want to suggest that one day when reports are are presented here, we hear something, not much, about remedial teaching in schools, something about guidance in schools. These two things are very important, but you know, since I came in here, I seldom hear anything said about this. But to me, they are very crucial. It doesn't help to have kids obtaining distinctions, and when they move out of high schools, they don't know where they are going. It doesn't help to promote kids who can't read to the next level, and later on again promote them to the other level. If they passed because they got 30%, you move them to the next level, and they get another 30%, to me it is 30% of the 30% that was in the previous class. So I'm just saying, while you do your work, please don't forget just to drop a paragraph somewhere about, you know, remedial teaching in schools and guidance. I know there is something like life skills. I haven't gone too far with life skills. I don't know whether it covers everything, but this is just a concern. I don't want an answer now. I'm just saying, if possible, or when you go to schools and do your evaluations, please check this as well, because it's very crucial. Thank you.
Honorable Kina.
Jefferson, thank you very much. I think, Chair, the explanation that you have got now, to me, it did clear up some of the questions that I had. Because, anyway, initially, my questioning was not around NIDU that much. I think we all agree that we need an independent body like this in our education system that has to look from the outside. We need that eye, mm-hmm. as to say, what is it that is happening? And from the report that we are getting, Chair, I think we are getting that confidence as to say they are going to give us that eye through the eye of an eagle as to say what is happening in the Department of Education, and we warmly welcome that one, the independency, more especially. Honorable Makubela also did a follow-up on my question, of which I still think I did not get the response on it. That is why I said maybe I wanted to hear it when it comes from Nidu, because from what Nidu will be doing, it's going to be evaluating what is happening inside the classroom at school throughout the system, as they have been saying, and also evaluating these other bodies that are within the education system, as he has correctly put it, issues like homeschool evaluation, IQMS, and all the forth, and also this planning and delivery unit that is there. The question of lifespan, I might not for now question really what is happening around the lifespan of Nidu, because I see that we are still going to need Nidu. We are still going to need this unit for quite some time in our education. But I don't want to put Mr. Hubega again in a corner, because I think my next first was to ask, was to say, whilst the planning unit has done its job, maybe even the terms of reference for that unit, what is it that she can say, is to say how long will it be there? But I know I'm putting her in a very tight corner. I might not need a response on that one, because even units like NIDU might even come up with recommendations as to say, what is it that we do with the units that are there within the system? Are they assisting that much? Or they are, as we are talking of a duplication that is there. But for me now, Chair, is to say, I think we'll be waiting for the bill from NIDU, and from the background that they have given us, I see a window where we say we are going to be evaluating the whole system, and it's going to unblock some of the bottlenecks that we have and the challenges that we have within the Department of Education. So we just wish them all the best of luck, because we really need to see the changes in the system. Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Taylor, I would like you to speak for about 5 minutes to round off, and then Mrs. Stobeka for about 5 minutes. Thank you.
Back to the main question, Honourable Ludmore. Every education system in the world has an inspectorate to produce objective, evidence-based assessment of the school system that cannot be tainted with the accusation that it's serving vested interests. So it's outside of the department. I mean, it is just a fact of all school systems. Mm. So that's the recognition here. I mean, NIDU is quite a unique manifestation of such an inspectorate, in that, I mean, you know, inspectorates were discredited under apartheid. We haven't had an inspectorate for a long time because of that, and now it's coming back in this form, which has development in its name. Why development? Is it only advisory, Honourable Mpushana? Should it have development functions, Honourable Lovemore? The development functions are advisory. We leave a school with recommendations about what should be done. Now, I just want to go back to that idea about people not knowing what their jobs are. Even though they might have job descriptions, those job descriptions, colleagues, if you look at them, I mean, there's currently a paper out, a draft, it must come from this committee, in fact, on the role of districts, on the role and functions of districts. I look at that, and I must say my heart sinks when I look at those pages and pages of functions that people are supposed to do. Not that they're not important, but how does a person with fairly low levels of knowledge engage with such a massive list of jobs? How do they begin to prioritize it? And I want to say one of our main functions is going to be is to pick the key issues at each school and to make one or two recommendations that can exert maximum leverage on improving teaching and learning.
We don't want to give a school a list of 20 things to do, because they won't do it. Or they might do 19 and leave out the most important one. I want to leave a teacher with one thing to do, and that is follow the workbook. I want to leave a principal with one or two things to do, and that is monitor the learner's books, make sure the kids can read, check their reading, really down-to-earth practical things like that. And I think in that way we can make a difference if we absolutely prioritize the key problems in each institution. And then the third kind of question that came out of the follow-ups, colleagues, again came from Honorable Mushwana about, are there still people in the system who don't know their jobs, don't know their subjects, all these workshops? Colleagues, do not underestimate the weakness of the South African school system. It is very, very weak. We have teachers who don't know their subjects, who would not pass a grade 6 exam, teaching grade 6. They get promoted to head of department. The head of department can't help the teachers because they don't know anything more. The principal, the subject advisors, and so on up the system. Do not underestimate the weakness of our system, colleagues. And if, you know, one of these days when NIDU is really on its feet, and we've got a couple of reports out and we're starting to make headway, I'm going to make some proposals as to how we should professionalize the South African school system. I've got some ideas, and I think we've really got to bite this bullet and do it. Yeah. But let's just get going in the meantime, and begin to make small recommendations to schools. So small in number, but key in their leverage of improving teaching and learning.
Thanks a lot,
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I would like to just briefly respond to what Honourable Guinness said. I think her question is very pertinent, and it's an important one. And you're not putting me in a corner at all. We have established the unit based on international practice, and if you look at what they did in the UK, when they felt that the unit had done what they wanted it to do, it was that changed. So we're not excluding the possibility that it might have a definitive lifespan. That has not been decided as yet because of the nature of the challenges and the magnitude. How I would like to look at the delivery unit and its focus is also linked to what Honorable Khanyago raised about remedial education, to recognize that just as in the schooling system, there is sometimes need for remediation and support. Even in a bigger education system, there is need for that kind of support. I would call it remediation, which is what the delivery unit will do and does do. Chairperson, just a couple of things, for instance, that I think in this time the delivery units have been able to do, which may not have been picked up, and unlike NIDU, that will write a report to make sure that they are attended to immediately. We've referred to the DIPS, to the SIPS, maybe just to refer to one that I hadn't referred to, the assistance that the department has believed all the time we were providing to schools, which is lodged in our portal, education portal, and you go out to schools and you realize that in fact that support is not reaching anybody. So for now, we do think there's a role for the unit, and we'll continue to sharpen our focus and see that there are no overlaps. Just lastly, Honorable Jenna, the example that you used, it shows and it demonstrates the challenges that Nick refers to in the system as a whole, because the fact that we have children who are unable to write at the level of FETs, we must look not only at the education system in basic education, we must look at higher education as well, who produce the teachers. So we need to look at all of those angles. But Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity.
I'm going to close the meeting now, because we still have other meetings that we have to attend. I think when it comes to the two units, money has been allocated. Funds. So it will be important for us to have your EPP, APP. that the person can just oversight you as we go along. Then when it comes to the 15 districts, Mr. Baker, I think we need to have the names of the 15 districts in the Eastern Cape so that each one knows exactly where it's taking, which districts were delegated powers. Then the tool for monitoring, support and evaluation from the delivery unit. The question that was asked, I think that we need. Then when it comes to textbooks, it will be interesting to note, where we do not have these textbooks or workbooks. That will be good. Then your work program and the Mount Freer report from NEDU, that will be important. And I think what was interesting, we didn't yet receive the bill, but it's giving us insight into the work that NEDU is going to do. And it will also help us, because we had robust discussions this morning. And then we'll see what submissions we receive when the ball comes to us and what changes we will make. And I think with everything that was said here and the questions asked, we'll have to speak to our own department about these things. Because we gave you a tough time, and I think we have to ask our department all these questions, basic education. These questions that were put to you, we have to put to the department. And what will be important is to get your full report. Give you time to work. And then, you come back to us and give us a report. Because it will be very important to see what implementation took place from what you are giving us and what impact it is having on the ground. Because the issues we spoke about is very fundamental within education, within teaching. Because these things we are hearing, we heard a lot. And there are things we know as teachers when we were teaching. These are fundamental things we did do. That it amazes you when you hear, what is happening again on the ground. Because I can't say we took it for granted. Because when we step into a classroom, we're not going to give one theory the whole morning. There's quite a number of things that you do. Because you have a plan in place for the day. You have a plan in place for over 14 days. And those plans you have to cover. So I think we're going to think about these things. We're going to internalize it. And then speak to the department and wait on your reports. Thank you, members. Thank you, department. Thank you.
Yes, because it's about the internet.